We are going to talk about this morning maturing in the anointing. And then I want to take it further for you to understand it. Maturing in the anointing within and upon. Two places. Now, the anointing is an impartation, it's a supernatural impartation from God through the Holy Ghost. And so when you mature in the anointing, the supernatural and the sovereignty of God begin to operate in your thinking, in your words, and in your step as an individual. Because this maturing is not about a group. This maturing is about you and your God. And so we want to see this clearly this morning by permitting the Holy Ghost to keep a fresh anointing on your life. Permitting the Holy Ghost to keep a fresh anointing on your life. I want you to turn to Psalm 92. Psalm 92 in the book of Psalm. And we're going to look at three New Testament scriptures in a few moments, but Psalm 92. Now, I've been pondering Psalm 92 and pondering about the anointing. The key verse is the 10th verse, but I want to address it around it after we read the 10th verse. Maturing in the anointing. In the 10th verse of Psalm 92:10, but my horn shall thou exalt. I want you to underline the word exalt, like the horn of a unicorn. Now, you're just using an analogy. A unicorn supposed to have a horn, one horn right in the middle of his head, and it's strong, and he uses it for defense, and it's powerful. But my horn shall thou anoint like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Learn that. I underlined it. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Now, over in Psalm 23:5, he said, he anointed my head with oil. It might be verse 4. Anointed my head with oil. He prayed a tear for me. Prayed to my enemy. Anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now, we're talking about the anointing. We're talking about the impartation of the Holy Ghost, of the divine mind, the divine understanding, the divine wisdom, and the divine strength of God. In this 92nd Psalm, I want to go over it with you to prelude a dropping of the Holy Spirit on your life right where you are now to answer some questions, things that you're dealing with. And I want to walk you through some underlining I did in the whole Psalm. If you look, notice in the first verse, it's a good thing to give thanks. Underline the word thanks. Thanksgiving will increase the presence of God in your life. Being thankful, no matter what you're going through, give thanks. And the second word I underline in verse 1 is praises. Thanksgiving and praises are ingredient of maturing in the anointing. Being thankful for where you are, no matter what you're going through, be thankful. You always can find something to thank God for. And then secondly, I want to walk you through to show forth thy loving kindness. Underline loving kindness. When you come to grip with God's loving kindness and know how much God loves you, it will do something to you. So you have the loving kindness, how the anointing is aware, or the Holy Spirit is aware of how loving and the kindness of God. And then in that same verse 2, there's the word to show forth thy kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness at night. Now, you're going to have to know something about God's loving kindness. You're going to have to know something about faithfulness in order to flow in a matured anointing. The anointing within on the inside and the anointing on the outside. All right. Now, even going further, I want to go to verse 4, because there's a word in verse 4 I want you to have to know that this maturing and anointing will begin to produce in your life. You notice in verse 4 the word triumph. Underline that word when you read it again. For thou, Lord, has made me glad. Oh, I got the word glad too. Underline the word glad. Through thy works I will triumph in the work of thy hand. So that's very important. I have to take my time and give you this. It's so important before I go to giving you a principle. Verse 5 in Psalm 92. Oh Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Now his thoughts and works, and he talks about going in the deep. And that's what the anointing will do for you. Now, there's a shift in here, because in this psalm, it began to tell you how the wicked going to come out, but it tell you how God's anointing is going to come out. And you go down and you go on and on. And I don't know, the word share is 11 times in this. I'm studying and rightly dividing it. The word share, or the powerful word, is in there 7 times. Now, so verse 10 is our focus word. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 10 is our focal word. You're going to find the word flourish. You're going to find the word more than one time. Even talking about going at an old age, flourishing at an old age. You want to see those things. Now, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. You want to look at that. I want you to see a few things before I start giving you these principles on maturing. May the Holy Ghost reach you where you are. I'm yielding to him. He's the one who has to breathe on his word. We're just going through the motion. All right. In 2 Corinthians 13, 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. Now, here's the last part of this verse. We're talking about maturing and anointing. And the communion of the Holy Ghost. And the communion of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you. Amen. Now, there's three things he talked about. All important, but this morning, I want you to emphasize the communion of the Holy Ghost. It will take the communion of the Holy Ghost to cause you to mature in the anointing. Are you following me? The communion of the Holy Ghost. Now, look in Luke chapter 2, verse 40. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. We're building the case of you maturing in anointing that you really don't need nobody to pray for you. More. You pray for yourself. Yeah. More. And the child grew. Now, here's the second statement. I want you to see it. The second statement. What's the second statement say? I can't hear y'all online. And wax strong in spirit. Underline that. And wax strong in spirit. Communion of the Holy Ghost. Second, and wax strong in spirit. Filled with wisdom and the grace of our Lord. Grace of God was upon him. Wax strong in spirit. One more scripture now. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. We're maturing in the anointing. We're maturing in the Holy Ghost. We're maturing in the Spirit. We're maturing, when you say that, we're maturing in God. We're maturing in Jesus. We're maturing in the Word, knowing that this Word is powerful enough to keep us in any situation. Yeah, in 1 John 2:27 now, because we're talking about the anointing. Well, Lord, we'll read that. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. See, that's anointing. Where is that? In you. Abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. Now, notice that anointing. That need not that any man teach you. That doesn't mean you throw away Ephesians 4:11 with the apostle. That doesn't mean that. That means that you need to be able to receive something for yourself.
Right.
Your teacher not going home with you.
That's right.
See, you see what I'm saying? You have to know, the body of Christ have to know, believers have to know, I can get a hold of God for myself. Say it.
I can get a hold of God for myself.
You got to know that in the midnight hour. You got to know that when you by yourself, you have to know, yes, I can call pastor. Yes, I can call brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, but I need to know how to get a hold of God for myself. You heard that? That's what maturing in the anointing is that you know that the Holy Ghost is with you and that the Holy Ghost can reveal God at any moment, in any situation, in trial, in victory for you. I can get a hold of God for myself. See, you say that anointing abides in you, so it doesn't mean it's in you at church. See, need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointed teaches you of all things. You see that? Then it says, and what? Is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. So the anointing is to keep you abiding in Jesus, abiding in God. Yes. But it also to train you as you mature in the anointing, you know that you can stand up for yourself. Yes. That's where maturity come in, maturity. And then the Lord called my attention, and then we'll go to work in Luke 4:18, because it explains the anointing within and the anointing upon. Now, I got one of my point. If Jesus needed an anointing, I know I need it.
Yes.
But he says, notice that voice. Talk about how much the Spirit, what the Spirit of the Lord is now on you. And you know, when you talk about John 14:12, the works I do and the greater works, this is what need to be done in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel. See, you can't preach unless you're anointed. to the poor that send me to heal a broken heart. You can't unless you're anointed. Ain't no healing going on. That's Acts 10:38 there. And to heal a broken heart, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. All right, we're talking about maturing in the anointing. I want you to write this down. Always am in your life, or let me say it like it is, living in a fresh anointing. Mm-hmm. I'll read this to you so you have it. The word horn, go back to Psalm 92 now. The word horn in symbolic passages referring to kingdom. It represents king, but in connecting with individual, it represents power and authority. So the anointing is for power and authority in your life. I wrote, one of the grand mark of maturing in the Spirit is knowing how to keep a fresh anointing, stand full of the Holy Ghost. And then he says, miracles, manifestation, and maintaining. In other words, you can maintain when things look like they're going out of wax. Maturing in the anointing within you, that you may mature in the anointing that is upon you, both of them. Now, first point I want you to get. Are you ready to be continuously anointed with fresh oil?
Yes.
Let me hear you say, Apostle, you're talking to me. Yes. Now, this first insight on being anointed with fresh oil is it's liberality. Hallelujah. It will set you free. In Isaiah 10:27, turn there quickly. Isaiah 10:20. Are you ready to be anointed? See, when you're anointed, no yoke can stay on you. When you're anointed, no burden can hold you down. Hallelujah. I'm preaching now. I say when you mature in anointing, no yoke or no burden can stay with you. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder. Good God Almighty. The Lord sent me here to take all burdens off your shoulder.
That's right.
To show you how to do it. Yeah. And his yoke from off thy neck. And look what he says at the end of this verse. Oh my goodness. And the yoke shall be destroyed because I go to church. And the yoke shall be destroyed because I prayed last night. You see what it's saying?
Yes.
See what I'm saying? See, because Jesus says, search the scripture, for in them you think you have life, but they testify of me. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Why should it be destroyed? Because of what? The anointing. You see that? All right. Now, my head, my eyes and my ears yield to the anointing. My heart, my eyes, and my ears yield to the anointing. Now, why is that? Turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. That you have to yield to the anointing. For the maturing anointing, you have to yield to the anointing. To mature in God's ability, God's authority, God's power, God's supernatural, God's miracle, God's sign, you have to yield to the anointing. So we're talking about yielding, right? Yielding to the anointing. Yielding to that ability. Yielding to that divine prompting. You have to yield to it. Then Matthew 13, 15, I want you to see this. For this people's heart is waxed gross and their ears are dull of ear. See that? That's a problem for the anointing, that you've got dull ears. See that? And their eyes have their clothes. And so what happened? Let me finish reading it because I'm going to talk about this a minute. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand, oh my Lord, understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Let me tell you what have happened, church. Let me tell you what happened. The church have turned to motivational speakers and they have turned to emotion instead of devotion. See, devotion, from my own definition of devotion is lingering in the presence of God. Until God, hallelujah, until God talks to you personally, you don't go with the crowd. Yes. Everybody jumping, you might not be ready to jump right now because God might be saying something to you that you need to hear. Put that voice back up because I want to talk to that voice. For the people's heart is waxed gross. Their heart waxed gross. I mean, it's hard. And they can't, and their ears are dull of hearing. Number two, three things. Their eyes, they have closed. So you mean to tell me I can sit here with my eyes open, closed? You can sit right here. Y'all sitting here. We're sitting in this church. And you can sit here with your eyes open and your eyes closed. Your ears open and your ears closed. Because we're talking about inner seeing and inner hearing. And it's going to take an anointing for that. It's going to take an anointing to all your heart with God present. It takes the anointing for that. So you see, in order, my heart, my head, my eyes, and my ears must yield to the anointing. Go to verse 16. I want you to see this. There's three things you saw in that 15 verse. But blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. Go to the next verse. See, now we're talking about seeing and hearing and understanding in another dimension. See, the anointing is not so much a natural functioning. It's spiritual. Yes. And so you have inner eyes, you have inner ears, and you have inner understanding. All this outer stuff, massive stuff going on, massive outlines, and I'm not against massive teaching, but you teaching me you can't control your body, you 900 pounds? You lie as soon as you walk in the pulpit. You ain't got no discipline. I can't trust you. You might run the ditch. See? I just got to touch it. You know, somebody need to touch this. You guys talking about they're so anointed and they're running women? And some running men and they're anointed?
Impossible.
See, we got the mature. Y'all got to stop thinking about how good they sound and watch their life.
Come on.
Jesus said, you know a tree
by the fruit
it bears. See, y'all, we can't play. That's why I want to cover Word of Life. I want you to be freshly anointed. Somebody might call you, come by. Somebody might send a text or something. You say, this is not God. I ain't going with this. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah, and then you know about the fruit they bear. Oh, my.
Come on.
Verily, I say to you that many prophets and righteous men who have desired to see those things which you see have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Why? I want you hearing in the spirit so you can almost use the word protect yourself. You know, you actually know how to yield to God. All right. In Psalm 23, 25, There's a threefold insight of the fresh anointing. In Psalm 23:25, there's a threefold insight. There's a prepared table, that he anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. How many of y'all want that? He prepared a table in the presence of my enemy. He anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. That's threefold, but I believe, as the Spirit spoke to me, I believe that's a threefold aspect of a fresh anointing. In other words, when you mature in anointing, you're not going to be in wants. When you mature in anointing, miracles, signs, and wonders are going to follow you. When you mature in anointing, your cup going to run over. Hallelujah. Now, I think this one will help you. Jesus' success in life and ministry was secured by the anointing. Wow. Jesus' success. Think Jesus had a successful life? In life and ministry. Oh, yeah, blind man come to Jesus. Jesus said, oh, I'll just put a little mud on you. I'll go wash. Rise. Jesus said, rise and walk. Said, the girl dead. Jesus said, no, she not. Y'all get out. Y'all unbelief. Y'all ain't got no anointing. Get all the people with no anointing out of the room when you're trying to do something supernatural. He said, y'all void of anointing. He didn't say it, but I know what he meant. He said, put them out, and just me and the family stay. And they said, little girl, rise up and walk. See, when a person is not anointed, they affect the anointing.
Yes.
You have all these people running their mouth, and they ain't got no anointing. So now, I want you to have, this is dangerous, but I'm going to tell you, anointing discernment.
Yes.
Yeah, you got people be running their mouth, talking about, God, we can do this. Shoot. And you know, I don't sense no, this woman. This woman just quoting scripture. And you got to have anointing discernment. At this point, really ratting off scripture. Just ratting off scripture. No power. So there it is. Let me give you a rattle all these scripture off because I've got a lot of places to go. In Matthew 3:16-17, you're going to see Jesus getting ready to start his ministry all, but he wouldn't start it without anointing. When that dove, like a dove landed on him, and you heard the voice, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Then Luke 4:18, Jesus lay out the anointing on his ministry. I read that to you. Then Acts 10:38 is another aspect of it. Jesus land the success of his ministry out to us in those three segments of scripture. Jesus' success in life and ministry was secured by the anointing. I remember writing it down, typing it out, and I thought about this. If Jesus needed an anointing, I believe he would need some of it, you know, to make it, you know. Jesus' lifestyle was an example to us, all right? The abiding anointing will keep me in the abiding truth. Therefore, no matter what happened, I shall not be moved. Now, y'all want to hear this. I'm going to say it again. The abiding anointing will keep me in the abiding truth. Look in 1 John 2:27 again. Therefore, no matter what happened, I shall not be moved. I'm putting a covenant on you now, word of life. Listen to this. All I want you to do is go, if you're dealing with something come up next week, just go over this one point here. The abiding anointing, that's what 1 John 2:27 talking about, will keep me in the abiding truth. Therefore, no matter what happens, I shall not be moved because of that abiding anointing. Are you following me? Now, let's just go to another stage. The fresh anointing upon you is empowering you for supernatural work. Turn to John 14. The fresh anointing upon you is empowering you for supernatural work. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say glory to God. Praise his holy name. We have to mature. That's why I'm taking my time. I get asthmatic, and we all can jump over this place. But I mean asthmatic, charismatic, nothing going to work now unless you're functioning properly in the Holy Ghost. We're in a time of God's vengeance. And all these people who have disrespected God in the pulpit and in the White House, All of them who have disrespected God are in trouble today. And those of us who are children of God must be led by the Spirit and make sure we stay in the anointing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I'll take my time and minister to you that you need the fresh anointing upon you is empowering you to do supernatural work. Quite naturally, if you're empowered to do supernatural work, you live a supernatural lifestyle. In John 14:12, Jesus talked about the work I do, shall you do also in greater work than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Because I go unto my Father is a powerful statement, because he's talking about, because when I get back to my Father, I'm sending you the same thing that caused me to be powerful, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. But you got down, I want you to write down 12 through 17. John 14:12-17. I'm going to another point. Miracles, healing, sign, wonders, and mighty acts of power. Look in Matthew 4:23. Miracles, healing, sign, wonders, and mighty acts of power. Glory to God. Matthew 4 with me. Matthew 4. Thank you, Lord. Well, y'all want the anointing to fall?
Yes,
y'all paying attention?
Yes.
Yeah, y'all ain't just sitting around waiting on a goosebump, right? Huh? No, you want a real anointing. I sense the anointing. I'm getting stirred up. And the anointing will fall in your house. The anointing will fall all over the place. It's going to fall in here. Because God backed his word up. Now we're talking about miracles, healing, signs, wonders, and mighty acts of power following you. Wherever you go to supermarket, you got that following you all the time. Notice in Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. God wants us in that flow. And his fam went out throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers disease and torment, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the pops in there, and he healed them. You see what happened? Now this one's going to be new to you, but in this teaching on the anointing, I want you to have a grasp of this. Experiencing the Christian power of attorney. Jesus is a lawyer, you know. Experiencing the Christian power of attorney. That's Mark 16:15-20. That's when you're anointed, these signs shall follow them that believe. See, you experience the Christian power of attorney, Mark 16:15-20. Now, are you ready for the wind, the fire, and the utterance, both in your language and the language of the Holy Ghost? Well, they say the fire fell, the wind was blowing, the house was shook, utterance was given. Are you ready for that kind of life? See, in the power in Katalabashata, Koro Mamasata. Acts 2. Turn to Acts 2. Shedero Moshata. I think we'll hit it right here. Acts 2. Fire burning, the oil pouring, the wind blowing. Hallelujah. That should happen in your home, happen personally in your life. You feeding on the Word of God, you're reading the Word of God, and all of a sudden, the presence, a strong presence. I know some of y'all have experienced it. A strong presence of God had come upon your life. You don't experience that. You know, I mean, you need to start tarrying for this to happen. Because I want to make a statement. Yeah, thank you, Holy Ghost. Pentecost is not over. Pentecost is not over. What happened in Acts 2:1-4 is not over. And I want to tell about that. Now, are you ready for the wind? W-I-N-D, the fire and the utterance, both in your language and in the Holy Ghost language. Yeah, in Acts 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, verse 1, they were all one accord in one place. And suddenly, I can get the asthmatic right here now. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Oh my God, let the wind blow this morning, Lord. Let the wind blow in the homes of those who listen to me. Let the wind blow their problem right out of their life. Let the wind blow all weakness and insufficiency out of us this morning. And suddenly, she's going to happen suddenly. See, you praying and you believing and you standing, and suddenly the Lord move in. And suddenly the enemy can't hold you anymore. And suddenly you know you're free from sickness and disease, and you're free from the problem and the attack. Suddenly. Everybody say suddenly. See, God works suddenly, immediately, straightway. Things can happen in your life. Are you following me?
You be like
I've been going along preaching here. You say, my God, he just preached. But you see, suddenly something get a hold of you. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God shows up and you can feel his presence on the inside and the outside. You ever felt his presence? On the inside and the outside. Somebody about to get something here. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. Wow, a sound from heaven mean that you understand that God is invading the place where you are. Right now, God is invading Darrow. He's invading Gonzales, all the places that you're, Donsonville, wherever you are. The Spirit of God is ready to invade. Watch me now. Watch my next step. Invade your place.
That's right.
Whatever condition you're in, let the Spirit of God invade it this morning. That's what the anointing is. The anointing is a supernatural invasion where God said, don't say nothing else. You don't need to raise your hand. You don't need to pray. I'm about to take over. When God invades your space, nothing can stop you. I pray that God invade every pushing space that's watching me right here, all my members online and listening and all around the world, that the Holy Ghost will invade your space. Hallelujah. I'm holding on. Invade your space. Suddenly, verse 2, there came from heaven as a rushing, oh my God, as a rushing mighty wind. I tell you, when the Holy Ghost go to moving, everything move. He move in power and glory. I think somebody about to receive something here. Yeah, I mean, you've been standing and praying and asking, but you mess around and got a hold of this service, and the wind start blowing, and the Holy Ghost start moving, and the angels start moving, and heaven start moving. All the power of God start moving. There's a wind that can come up on your life that bring all the glory of God. Bring all the power of God. Bring all the wisdom of God. The Bible talks about God's manifold wisdom. The Bible talks about God's manifold grace. The Bible talks about God's unsearchable riches. All of it's in the anointing when the wind starts blowing. Oh, God, I want the wind to blow in Darrow this morning. I want the wind to blow in every home, every person listening to me. Let the wind blow. Let that anointing get so strong. Everything they're trying to take them out. Got to move out. Hallelujah. Let me get back here. Oh, my goodness. Look at this. Third verse. They appeared unto them a cloven tongue. Like as a fire. And it set up on each of them. Oh, let the fire fall this morning. And let it set up on each one of us. And burn the chaff. And let the gold come out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you see that? And then they give them water. See, and then they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I wonder if anybody listening to me got any utterance this morning. He gave them utterance, the fire burning, the wind blowing, and they got utterance. When you're praying in tongue, you're letting out the power, you're letting out the glory, you're letting out the power and glory of God. Hallelujah. All right. Listen. Grace, love, and anointing become one.
Yes.
When you mature in the Holy Ghost. I like that scripture. Grace, love, and the anointing become one. Grace, love, and the anointing become one. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. You ready to shout? a threefold manifestation when you mature in anointing. Huh? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. All three. When you mature in the anointing, you're going to, if you go back to think about it in Luke 2:40, the last statement said, and the grace of the Lord was upon him. The favor of God. When you're walking in the anointing, you're walking in the favor of God. In other words, nobody can stop you when the favor of God is upon you.
That's right.
I don't care what happened. I don't care pandemic. I don't care if food is just start happening everywhere because God is draining the swamp. When I say draining the swamp, he's draining all swamp in his church. He's draining the swamp in politics. He's draining the swamp. Everybody being exposed. Everybody is coming out. See, but you got to walk. I want you to be wrapped in the anointing. Don't be in the swamp.
That's right.
I want you to be wrapped in the anointing, living a holy, clean life. Are you following me? Hallelujah. 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 It's threefold. So I want you to make sure, 2 Corinthians 13:14, Luke 2:40, have that for the reach in and get it in any time you need it. Now, being fervent in spirit, meaning to boil with heat, hot, having a zeal for that what is good, being fervent in spirit. Acts 18:25 and Romans 12:11. Some of these scriptures I'm not going to go to. I want you to have them because I'm about to close. I'm going to go to another. I'm going to go to two, three, four more things. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11, 12, 13. We must go beyond making good sermon to maturing the saint. Is a must now. In other words, great sermons will not work now. Great sermon will not work. The saints need to be matured. You all need to be matured. The body of Christ need to mature. A person needs to know they can get in contact with God for themselves. And so our mission is found in Ephesians 4:11-16. I want you to know that. Every time I come up here, that's my mission. Ephesians 4:11-16, that you can mature. The believer needs to mature and be able to know how to fend for themselves. Don't have to call no 1,000 people praying for you. Calling everybody in the world. Y'all pray. No, don't do that. Get back in the back room, you and your wife, or you and your husband, or you and your children, and just talk to God about the thing. Don't put them on. Some people you call in prayer don't like you. And they're praying in tongue, but they really don't mean to say, yeah, I know the help of my brother, So you can't. And I know I don't want everybody praying for me. No, Jesus, Lord, have mercy. Because I cut you, I tell you, if you're broke, you're in sin. And that makes people mad and say, oh, yeah, don't pray for me. No, ain't praying for me. Don't pray for me. Ain't nobody calling you. Don't pray for me. Unless I call you my self. Hallelujah. So we must go beyond good sermon. We got a lot of good sermon. Maturing in sin is a must. Wearing a prosperously, when I saw these words, effective anointing. In other words, turn to 2 Chronicles. Because when I saw this voice, I'd never seen this voice before. And if I haven't seen it, most probably, because, you know, I dig in the Word. I've been digging the Word for 47 years every day. And so I could kind of guess if I hadn't seen it, it might be possible that you hadn't seen it. And I want to go to it. Let's see where it is. Make sure. Verse 11. I got down to this verse. It's talking about God glory filled the temple and talking about sacrifice being made. You go down to 2 Chronicles 7:11. And in that verse now, you may not see it, but I'm going to reveal it. In that verse, it's describing a person who wears a matured anointing. A person who knows how to mature, have a... That person will affect you. That person will make, that person walk in your house, it'll affect your whole house. See, whenever you get, whenever you get in that person's presence, that person will put an effect on you. In other words, if something happened to you when you get in that person's presence. That's why people need to honor the anointing. And when a person wearing the anointing, you need to be reverent, respectful, and paying attention, because anything could happen when that person wearing that anointing like that. Look at this verse. You have to read the rest to understand it, but they had been fasting and praying. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord. You with me? Are you with me in 2 Chronicles 7 and 11? Or I'm just preaching by myself. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and his own house. Look what his last statement, Ladu, look what it says. Them last three words. He prosperously effected. Man, underline that. You know, that's powerful, man. When I saw it, I said, Lord, I read across it, but the Holy Ghost put it out. He prospered. So what this is a summarize the whole lesson I've been trying to teach you. When you wear the anointing, you prosperly effect things. Good God Almighty. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Things start happening. He said that text said, you see what it said? He prosperously, in his own house, he prosperously effected. I'll tell you, that happened in my house all the time, my family. I've trained them how to do it. My kids and all my daughter-in-law and my son-in-law, they eat with me every Sunday. I want something to happen when they sit around my dining room table. That's why I asked them, I request for them to do that and ask them to come. We're not just eating. I believe that they are prosperously affected because of the anointing that is on Pawpaw's life. Amen. You follow what I'm saying? And that's everybody can have that. In other words, when you walk in a room, you're supposed to know that this room is going to be prosperously affected because I just walked in. It's not arrogance. No, that's wisdom. That's knowing that the Lord is with me. I walk in many meetings. I walk in Madison Square Garden. It was prosperously affected because the anointing. See, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the anointing. Yeah, the whole place, thousands of people. I walk in camp meeting. Camp meeting was prosperously affected. Any meeting I go to, and you should feel the same way. So I'm not gonna feel like you because you don't want to feel like me. But I know the truth. I know the truth. And so right now in your home is prosperously affected. Men, listen to me, because you're there. Men are the head. You're the head of the house. But also the ladies, single persons. The place where you reside is prosperously affected because you're wearing a matured anointing. That's right. Just I want you to think like that. Prosper. I love that. When I got to that, I said, my God, I never seen that before, but that's what the anointing is supposed to affect whatever you come around. The anointing affect problems. The anointing affect death, sickness and disease. It is when a person anointed walk in, something happened. Are you following me? Oh, yeah, it's powerful, man. I mean, if I had to jump in all places, I like that anointing effect. When I saw that, I called my wife. I said, honey, look at this. My God in heaven, the anointing effects. All right. Let me, one more thing now. I'm going to say it again. Wearing a prosperously effective anointing. Now, when you leave here today, and I'm as if you're here, when you leave here today, I don't know, you might be going out to eat. I don't know where you're going. But I want you to have it in mind that when I walk in this place, it's going to be affected with God's presence. That's powerful, man. That's powerful. See, but you got to know you're infected. You got to know God's presence is on you before it can work. All right. Let me give you one or two more things. I'm going to start calling out a bunch of words. anointing, ability, authority, angels, astonishing things will begin to happen in your life. Attention. In this anointing, attacking situation. All things will work together for good. Romans 8:28. In this anointing now, as I impart this anointing to those who listen to me, the world called it the law of attraction. You're going to start attracting good things in your life. Adversities will become stepping stone. Accomplishment will be easy. You're going to function in, listen to me, a divine assurance. Jesus is mine. Many of you have to deal with accusation from the accuser. He accused you of things, but this anointing going to handle that. And then the Lord told me to ask you, stop, this mature anointing will stop the enemy from deterring you anymore. Your vision, your desire, he will not deter you. Hebrews 11:6 said, without faith it is impossible to please God. He that come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, my brothers and sisters, here's one. Turn to Jude quickly. Jude. I'm going to make a statement. In Jude, the book of Jude. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Let me see y'all. Wave your hand online. Wave your hand. Can you hear me? Wave your hand online. Let me see y'all wave your hand. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Praise his holy name. All right, I want you to get this down in you. You turn to Jude, you had the book of Jude. My faith needs to be anointed.
My faith needs to be anointed.
Jude 20. See, building yourself on your most holy faith, what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Look at the 21st verse. You're activating love. You activate love. My faith needs to be anointed. With love maturity. Woo! My faith needs to be anointed with love maturity. And you got Jude 20 and 21, you'll see. What maturity mean? Having reached the most advanced stage in a process. Then I wrote, the enemy is falling. And the righteous is flourishing. So all this going on around you, pandemic and all the other stuff, yeah, so a lot of people falling, but I'm flourishing.
Amen.
All right, but you got to have the anointing. All right, here's some other words I got to give you. I got 12 minutes. Love and kindness, faithfulness, triumph, anointing, eyes to see, ears to hear, flourishing, fruitfulness, flourishing in old age. My wife and I saw a woman yesterday, 96 years old, sick, crippled, changed her eating, and in 5 weeks she's back on her feet, walking 3 miles a day. I want to say this. A word to the stupid is sufficient. 96. You can change your life at 96. 96 years old. I'm gonna release that so y'all can look at it. What? I need it now. What is it? I want women to know it so bad so they can go ahead and view the night. So they can see it, man, because the anointing of health is up on them also. Y'all try to find it. When you permit the Holy Spirit to mature you in the anointing, the sovereignty of God is released in your life. What is supernatural sovereignty of God? Supreme authority and power, independent authority and power. In other words, nothing can stop you. Maturing in the anointing within and upon. Let me close here. How many of y'all believe God is loving? How many of y'all believe God is faithful? How many of y'all believe that God is in trial? How many of y'all believe that God is deeper than anything else? I want you to understand in my closing today, as we talk about maturing in the anointing, that something happened to you today, and it's not by might nor by power, but it's by His Spirit. You're going to handle situations different from this day forward because the Holy Ghost is going to recall something that the Spirit said to you to cause you to know that you can be effective in any situation. What the Lord is doing, He's maturing you not to be a crybaby, knowing how to fight the good fight of faith for yourself. That's my job. My job is to mature you. If you want to read it, read Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, and you'll see what Pastor's doing. I'm putting you in a place, no matter what come up, you're going to be able to handle it. Maturing in the anointing releases the supernatural authority and power of God. God's sovereignty is released. Supreme authority and power is released in you today. I want you to say this with me. I will walk from this day forward in a maturing anointing. Got it? A maturing anointing. In other words, and then whatever I have to deal with or whoever I have to minister to, I'm going to do it prosperously, effectively.
Yes.
Even somebody call you there and say you need help, or some of your children call. Remember that you're supposed to have a prosperous, effective influence on everything and everybody who come around you. Now, I want you to grow in that maturity. I want you to read that 92nd Psalm. Read it over and over again. I didn't get into it, but you're going to see where the wicked is falling, the wicked going to be falling, and the righteous will flourish.